Lord, I
Love
give
Talk
you
Radio.
My heart graciously. I give you my soul. Ooh, I need for you alone. I know we have so many distractions. By every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way. May have your way in me. Have your way in me. Have your way, have your way in me. Have your way in me. Yes, yes, something. Have your way. Have your way.
Let the music play.
Hey. Have your way. Higher, higher, Jesus. touch you, feel you step higher. You believe that heart. You believe that heart. Yes, 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 yes. Jesus, you believe that. You believe that, yeah. You believe that. Jesus, you believe that. I will live for a day, yeah. You believe that, yeah. We do not see that sickness, we see Jesus. The son having issues with the rent. You're having issues with your rent. We do not see those. We see Jesus. Something is changing. Something is shifting. Something is shifting right now. Right now. The Bible says you will not see the rent. You will not see the wind. But you will see. Kappa.
Yeah. Take my place. deserve the praise, Jesus. We know we are not worthy. You still do everything you do regardless.
It's glorious. Take the space, oh God. Take my breath, oh God. Take the space, oh God. It's glorious. Jesus, you'll be lifted high.
Do not see the challenge. Do not see it. See Jesus. Let your focus be on Jesus.
Jesus, you'll be lifted. You'll be lifted. You believe me. You believe me. Ooh. Jesus, you believe. I've never seen the Lord. You believe. Above every challenge, above every pressure, above it.
Hey.
Jesus, you believe.
If you're believing God to, if you're yet to receive the life of Christ, you're yet to receive the life of Christ, the God kind of life, this is an opening. This is an opening. Can you open your heart? Everything we do will have no meaning. You don't have Christ on your inside. Can you open your heart and say, Lord, I have healed myself. I know I have done X, Y, Z things. I am super, I'm so dirty. I don't know if you can, if your kind of life is for me. I have good news for you. That is why Jesus died. He loves you. Just open your heart and say, Lord, from now on, I want your life inside of me. I believe you died for me. I believe you died for me. I surrender my life to you.
No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can say, and find the Krishna that there is not like you. No one else can touch my life like you do. I can search the world for little love for them and find the Krishna like you.
If you just say that and sang that with us, I want to celebrate you. Welcome to the God kind of life. Well, many that have gone astray they feel like, man, I've gone so far from God, I don't even know how to find my way back. This is the opening. This is the opening. It's okay to cry. It's okay to weep. It's better to weep at his feet. It's better to cry at his feet. Thank you, Jesus, for these souls. Thank you for healing. Oh, Father, we bless your name. Father, we bless your name. Hallelujah. Glory to you. God bless you. We'll go do all to share this video with everyone. With everyone. I love you, Papa. Let the music play as the worship continues. Mend the broken heart, heal the sick. Draw men to you. Touch the hearts of men, Lord. To the glory of your name. Amen. Already.
How excellent is your name,
We all know you. We all know you. We worship you. We praise you. We all know you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise you. We worship you. We honor you, Lord. Today is none like you, God. All the other gods, they are the works of men. You are the most. You are the only God. There is none like you. Father, we thank you and praise you this day for this opportunity to come to this holy place and worship and bow down before you. Now, Father, we ask that you would use us today to speak to your people this word that you have given us, O God. Lord, we're speaking on part three, Satan, the Master of Deception, part three. And we are going to be coming out of Matthew chapter 4. That will be our first scripture as we start there to dissect the scriptures according to the Spirit of God. Father, we ask that you would speak to us and speak through us. We submit our hearts, mind, body, and soul to you this very self-same minute. And we ask you, O God, to have your way in us. There is none like you, Jesus. There's only you, the Most High God. We bless your name, we praise your name, and we magnify your name, Jesus. O Holy Spirit, we ask you to come into our midst and do with us and for us only what you can do. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Here we go into the Word of God. Now, bless and thank God for touching our bishop, granddaughter, and touching the doctors that the surgery went well, and all was well, and all is well. We thank God because God is a miracle-working God. He never fails us. When he says he's going to do a thing, he does it. He's not like man. Once you say he's going to do it, he's going to do it. You can depend on him. You can rely on him. And you can be assured that he's going to come true on your behalf. Here in the book of Matthew chapter 4, and let's look at it here. Matthew chapter 4, and let me see where I have it logged in. Amplify order, the New Living Translation. The Word of God is so sweet that when you begin to get it, Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to release the first 11 verses in Matthew chapter 4. We're talking about Satan, the master of deceptions. And Satan would always come to you when you are in a fast, or when you're coming out of fast, or when you're going into a fast. He will come to you in a more serious way because he knows that you are seeking authority, you're seeking power, you're seeking a revelation from the Lord. So he will either attack you when you're going into it, or when you're coming out of it, or when you're in it, he's going to attack you. He is going to bring something to distract you, delay you, and if it's possible, even kill you. This is Satan's job. And a lot of people, I hear Pastor say that yesterday, but we always say it too. All the leaders, preachers always say, you sometimes wonder why you have been in ministry for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and it seems like all hell is coming after you. Well, I saw the Lord give me a word yesterday while I was doing some things on the computer, and he said, for somebody that's going through, somebody was going through, I don't know who the person is, but he told me to put it on Facebook because somebody was going through some stuff. And the Lord says, the reason why Satan is attacking you and Satan is troubling you is because heaven is inside of you. Oh, my Lord. When I got that word yesterday, he said it was for somebody, but I received it for myself. Glory to God. Because when you're going through, you tend to say, well, Lord, why my children? Why my children got to go through this? Why my husband got to face this? Why my wife got to face this? Why is this happening to me on my job? Why my car acting up? Why, you know, you got all these whys and how and where and all this stuff. But God said to me, he said, the reason why Satan will attack the believer is because the true believer, the one, hear what I'm saying, the true believer, the one that's washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, the one who has been transformed, the one who is being transformed, he has heaven inside of, he or she has heaven, which is the kingdom, dwelling inside of them. So Satan is going to come after you because, well, you have something that everybody else is going to want. And as long as you are moving in the kingdom and you have this kingdom mindset and heaven is dwelling inside of you, he don't want you to be able to talk, to focus, to tell somebody about the king. Because you can only have the, oh God, I hear the Holy Ghost. You can only have the kingdom in you if you know the king. Ah, my Lord, did you hear what I say? You can only have the kingdom in you if you know the king. Hallelujah. If you have a relationship with the king, you would have the kingdom in you. A lot of people talk about, oh, I love Jesus, but they have no relationship. They don't have a relationship with him. Every time they're slipping in and out of darkness, they don't have a relationship with him. But we're going to talk here about this this third part. I might do a fourth part because when the Lord released me from it, I'll release. I mean, I got a lot of stuff inside of me. Thank God for studying, allowing me to study the word of God and hear the Holy Spirit speaks to me. But I'm going to go where he leads me. Where he leads, I will follow. Here we're talking. This is the third part of Satan, the master of deception. He is a con artist. He is a trickster. He is a deceiver. He is an accuser. He is all of these things. He is smart. He's cunning. He's deceptive. He is tricky. He's a liar. He needs a murderer. He's an accuser. He's much more than those. Hallelujah. Glory to God. His main thing is to deceive. Hallelujah. He started that thing in the garden. Well, not in the garden. He started in heaven. Bishop started me that. I thank you for that nugget, Bishop. That was more than a nugget. That was revelation. It's in the book. He started in heaven when he deceived a quarter or a third of the angels, and they follow him all the way down to earth. He started that deception. So here in this book of Matthew, chapter 4, and Jesus is in fasting. I told you that he going to mess with you when you begin a fast, if you're in a fast or when you're coming out of fast. He's going to mess with you. Hallelujah. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. See, when you begin to fast, when you are fasting, everything, I told Apostle this 7 years ago, she was laughing. Everything that you like, you're going to be able to smell. It could be a million miles away from you. I know I just got a 21-day fast. And I tell that I was smelling donuts. I love a coconut donut. I don't like eat a lot of donuts, but I love a coconut donut or a cream fill. We live far away from a donut place. But, you know, I can smell them. I love fried chicken. I love fried fish. I told you, too. I love it. It's not good for me because of having the heart situation and cholesterol and all that kind of stuff, you know, and blood pressure. You know, you got to watch what you eat. But I'll be driving. I can't see a chicken place. Me and my baby in the car and my granddaughter. I can't see a chicken place in sight. I tell you no lie, Apostle. I can't see a fish place in sight. And all of a sudden, I can smell that. I can smell the fragrance. My God. I can smell that. Oh, my Lord. The fried fish, the fried chicken just coming through the window. Sometimes the window closes and it's coming through the vent. I laugh at that. I say that, but the devil is a little. Because I can't see a fried chicken, a Kentucky, a Popeye's, nothing. No way around. But all I can smell that chicken. I can't see the fish place. But I can smell that fried fish. This is the devil. But the Bible said that 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell those stones to become loaves of bread. I'm coming up to the NLT, New Living Translation. Where did he come to? He's coming off the fast. He's hungry. Hallelujah. You ain't had sex for a while. And all of a sudden, Satan is telling you, Look at that young girl. Look at that young man. Your wife not giving you what you want. Your husband not giving you what you need. And all of a sudden, he's showing you a young man, a young woman. Why? Because he knows that that's where you are. He's going to test you. He's going to try you. He's going to try to give you all. Well, you know, the pastor can't see you. You know, the bishop can't. The praise singers that you're singing with in the praise team and on crap. Oh, they can't. They don't even know you're going to Hotel 6, Motel 6, Holiday Inn, the Marriott. They don't know. Just go on and get your stuff. This is what the devil does. And then when we fall short, we accuse the Lord. Lord, why did you let this happen? Watch what Jesus did. This is what we got to do. During that time, the devil came and said unto him, if you be the Son of God, now speak to the stones to become loaves of bread so you can fill yourself. You can eat as much as you want. If you're the Son of God, that means you got some power. This is what it says. That means you have some power so you can do some stuff. Satan already know that Jesus got power. He's using this trick on trying to use this cunningness on Jesus. But Jesus told him, no. The scripture says people do not live by bread alone. I'm coming out with the New Living Translation. Another scripture might say, man does not live by bread alone. He said, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus said, I don't need the natural bread to live. I need the word of God, the word that the Father has given to me to give me the supernatural life that I need. Hallelujah. A lot of times we are gravitated to things that make our natural body feel good. Where we ought to be gravitated to the supernatural things to lift our spirit man up to another dimension. Hallelujah. Glory to God, you know when you start to pray, when we start to pray, something happens. Something happens. You forget about the fried chicken. You forget about the fried fish. You forget about the gumbo. I mean, you just forget about it because the spirit takes you into a place of filling, natural filling and supernatural filling. I'm talking to you from out of Matthew chapter 4, talking about Satan, the master of deceptions. But Jesus comes to wrap him all the time. He says, then the devil took him to the holy city. Do you think the devil is smart? He'll take you down to the church building. Don't you know? He'll lead you down to the church building. He'll lead you where the saints are, into the holy city. Listen to the devil. He said, then the devil took him to the holy city, Jesus, to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, listen, he keep asking this question. It's the second time. Jump off. For the scriptures say, he's quoting now Psalm 91, I think it's verse 11. He says, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you. Another one says, he has given angels charge over you in Psalm 91. Satan is busy. This is why we need to know the word of God. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly divine the word of truth. We need to study this word. Don't depend on what your pastor or your bishop or your apostle or the prophet or prophetess or the evangelist or teacher saying. Get into this word. Matter of fact, my pastor tell me don't get into the word. He said, get the word in you. Get the word in your heart, like David says. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against thee. Let us get this word inside of us so we don't have to wait till Benny Hinn come on TV. T.D. Jakes or Crack Lord Dollar or Joel Osteen or we need to find out somebody come on TV to hear them say something. Go in there, let the Holy Spirit teach you. Let him show you. Let him give some supernatural nuggets. Let the nuggets come off the page that would jumpstart your heart to walk holy. Because that's the problem. We get an excitement from what the bishop's saying, what the apostle's saying, what the prophet or prophet is saying, but we're not getting the stuff from the Holy Ghost. Oh, do you know? And we can't wait to put it on Facebook. God made T.D. Jakes say something the other day. Oh, Joel Osteen was saying something. I got to put this on Facebook. Man, the Holy Ghost will make that thing come off the page for you and just enlighten you if you would spend some quality time with him. The devil talking to Jesus. See, my phone going off. I mean, tell him I was hitting that phone every minute, Apostle. I tell him hitting that phone like crazy. But I just strike my finger and just knock that thing up because that's the devil don't want us to teach this word. Listen what he says. He told Jesus, if you are the Son of God, jump off. Jump off. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you. And they will hold you up with their hands. So you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. This is the New Living Translation. Jesus responded. See, you got to have a word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You got to have the Holy Ghost inside of you. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost will keep feeding you what you need. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus said it's expedient that I leave. He said, but when I leave, I won't leave you comfortless. He'll give you what you need. Jesus, the Holy Spirit will bring that everything to your remembrance. That's why we got to say the word. See what Jesus was speaking about. See what Jesus taught about, what he taught the disciples about. So that when the Holy Ghost search your heart, he'll find some word in there to bring back to your remembrance. Listen to what he says. Jesus responded. The scriptures also say, let me tell you something. You just turning the scriptures upside down. But let me show you something, the real deal here on the truth of the word of God. I read a scripture this morning and talking about Jesus in the bosom of the Father. And the scripture says, no one has seen the Father.
My God.
Except the Son who is in the bosom. Who is in the bosom. And that scripture, I've seen it before, but I never really pay attention to it. But this morning, it jumped off. Apostle, it jumped off the page into my heart. I said, glory to God. I thank you, Lord, for just showing me stuff when I need it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You hear people going on Facebook and we call it the YouTube saying what they went to heaven, and they sit down with Jesus and talk with Jesus and tell them go back to earth and talk to him. I mean, foolishness. I mean, if you say that you're in the spirit realm and you have to look in heaven, I can hear you. But ain't no flesh going into heaven. Ain't no flesh going up there. Flesh is full of sin. And people are like, oh, you hear what the bishop said? Oh, he went into heaven. He was with Jesus. And they walked down the corridors of heaven. I mean, foolishness. Don't let people come with another doctrine. Paul tell you that. You got to separate yourself from them. You know, cut yourself off. The spirit man, even John, the big John, our big brother didn't even go in heaven. He went in there in the spirit. He looked in there in the spirit. His flesh was somewhere on Patmos. Shipwreck on or whatever it is. Stranded on Patmos. They put him over there. Not shipwreck. They put him over there. Because they couldn't kill him. They said, well, let him go put him on this island. He'll die there. They tried to kill him in some pot of oil. Oil couldn't burn him because he was covered with the Holy Ghost. Covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. And they put him over there. He couldn't die. And when the Spirit come and they said, let me just take you on a trip. Hallelujah. You want God to take you on a trip. Hallelujah. That's what we need. We need the Spirit of God to take us on a trip. A Holy Ghost trip and let us look into heaven. Hallelujah. But don't come back telling people a lie that you died and went to heaven in your flesh. No, you don't wait. No flesh can enter heaven. Not no flesh that's on this earth. This flesh is full of too much sin. The apostle said a couple of years ago, Apostle Short says, when God died on the cross, he died to save your soul, not your flesh. That's why all flesh, as men and women of God, all flesh, always act up all the time. You're wondering why you want to eat stuff that you shouldn't be eating. You're wondering why you want to have sex and you got a husband. Why you want to have sex and you got a wife outside your marriage. You want to wonder why? Because that flesh is filthy. That flesh don't care what God is saying. It don't care nothing. It just want what it want. Hallelujah. The doctor tell you, don't eat this, don't eat that. Your flesh is saying, no, I like this. Yeah, knowing that it's going to take you close to the grave.
Hallelujah.
Go. But Jesus said, he responded to Satan. He said, the scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. Let the devil ain't stopping though. Devil is not. Listen to me. We always say, thank you, Brother Deacon. Always say, the devil does not drink coffee. He don't stop for lunch. And he does not care what time dinner time is. Anytime the devil catch you or me, any of us, I'll tell you, glory to God, doing something outside of the realm of holiness, glory, let me put it this way. Anytime the devil catch any of us outside the realm of holiness, he's going to put a monkey, we call it this, he's going to put a monkey wrench inside the game. Hallelujah. And I'm not talking about some monkey rich. Really, let me talk like, you know, they call that because the man that made the pipe rich, he was a black man. And they call it, that's the name of the monkey rich because they call us monkeys. You know, them Caucasians call us monkeys. He was a man from Philadelphia. I think he was from Philadelphia that made the pipe wrench, a black man. Hallelujah. And they call it the monkey wrench. But the devil going to put something in it. That's what I'm saying. He's going to put a trick. Some cunning move he's going to put it, like Adam and Eve in the garden. Somebody said Adam was right there with Eve. He was right there. But he didn't take his rightful position as the head of the house. The head of the garden, he didn't take his rightful position. He allowed his wife to be deceived by the devil. He's right there. Because the Bible says she didn't wait looking for him to give a bite, to give him the apple, to let him eat the apple. He was right. She said, after she ate, she gave her husband. He ate also. That means he was right there. He ain't somewhere. He went somewhere in the garden sitting down in his garden palace. No, he was right there. Listen. But Jesus says, glory to God, you must not test the Lord your God. That is saying, I'm Lord over you. I'm the God over you. I have power over you. That's what Jesus is saying. Listen to what he says. Read it again. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say, in the New Living Translation, you must not test the Lord your God. So that means he's telling Satan, I'm your God. I have power. I have authority over you. That's what he's saying. Listen to what he says. Now, next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain. I showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. You can imagine Jesus looking at what he has created. Can you imagine this? Jesus on the highest mountain, and he's looking, and he can see all of his marvelous work. You can imagine when I go into a house, and I look, and I can see where I put the furnace, where I put the water heater, and how I install the dishwasher, and the garbage disposal, and the kitchen sink, and the bathroom sink, and the bathroom faucet, and toilet, you know. And I see all this stuff. Dude. I can say, okay, how can you come and tell me something? And I'm the one who put that there. I'm the one who designed it. I know all about it. But here, in this text here, he's showing Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and the glory. And he said to Jesus, I will give it all, not some. Listen to what he says. He said, I will give it all, listen to him, to you, he said, if you will kneel down or bow down and worship me. But Lord, I tell you, glory to God. You see, all Satan is blessing these preachers. Lord, I know I like to hit the preachers because that's what I call to do. Satan is blessing a lot of preachers because all they want to do is have a Lamborghini. All they want to have is a Cessna jet. I was a man, yeah, they just died behind it, driving, coming in from Atlanta, Georgia, and died behind the wheel of a Cessna jet. He had thousands and thousands of miles in flying. But guess what happened? His heart was tired. He was an older man. He had started training his wife to fly. She was 80 years old. Well, another pilot had to come up with another plane to coach her down. And she landed the plane. Hallelujah. Listen, the devil is not going to stop. He's going to test you. Hallelujah. We got to be strong in the things of the Lord. Glory to God. Jesus said, he's going to show you stuff to deceive you, to cause you not to walk for God. That's his old key. Girl, I'm gonna give you a house in Hawaii. Oh, I'm gonna put you down in the cabin. You know, everybody like to have a house. All these movie stars that buy a house in Barbados and Trinidad and Jamaica, you know, and Antigua and the Bahamas, they like to buy homes in those places called they can say, well, I got my island property. Every time I wanna get away, I spend 3 or 4 weeks, I take a group of movie stars, entertainers down with me. We have a strip party, we go down there, we be naked, nobody can see us, we all doing stuff, swapping wives, swapping husbands, all that stuff. We don't care, nobody can tell, you know, that's the devil. Devil having a field day with them. You wonder why they divorced, they can't stay married no more. Most of them are staying married 6 or 7 years. They can't stay married no long time. 3 years, they're gone. That's like, oh, the devil don't want you to stay married. Devil don't want you to stay married. You're a preacher, the devil wants to break your marriage up. Show you that young girl coming up checking you because she getting all excited. She's not excited about your message. She's not excited about your message. He's not excited about your message. His excitement is to destroy you. Satan using that young man, using that young woman to come after you, to destroy you from preaching and teaching the truth so others will be set free. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, my God. He said, I would give all to you, he said to Jesus, if you would kneel down or bow down and worship me. Get up. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him. Only serve him. Then the devil went away. The Bible says, in your King James said he left for a season. Well, if somebody leave you for a season, that tells you that he's coming back. Hallelujah. You have to stay prepared. You have to garnish your soul, your heart. You have to garnish, clean up your heart. You know, some people say, I smoked cocaine for 30 years, 32 years, 33 years. I'm going to go down to the crack house, and I'm going to hang out every day with them crackheads. I'm going to hang out with them every day. Every day I go down there and sit down with them. And I'm looking at them smoking, the smoke coming in my face. I'm breathing them. I'm getting some residue from the smoke every day. I'm telling you what happened to me. This happened to me three times. Three times I relapsed. Three times relapse means you wake right back out. And you start drinking or using whatever your vice. I thought I could go and sit down by them. And they said, how you doing, Dave? So good to see you. You look so good. Your body got back to shine again. Now there's some oil coming out of my pores now because I'm eating good. I'm taking a shower. I'm doing brushing my teeth. I'm doing all this stuff that a regular person does. They don't care about that stuff. They know my trade allows me to make money fast and big money quick. They know that. So all they're interested in is if I'm doing some side work or if I'm back to work, if I have some money to buy a Netflix. That's all they want. And then soon they say, well, here, let me talk how the devil works. The devil always gives you the first load, the first hit, the first drink. Hallelujah. The first spliff. We call it spliff. Hallelujah. For free. And once you smoke that joint, or once you hit that pipe, or drink that shot of liquor, well, I said, no, we don't get it like that. That's what they're going to tell. God, you got to get some money. You got to put some money to this. Because we can't keep giving you for free. We'll give you, give a couple of hits, that's it. Because Satan want to get you back to doing what you were doing for him, back on his payroll. Hallelujah. The devil left for a season. And angels came and took care of Jesus. They came and ministered. God is dispatching angels to minister to us every day. Every day. A lot of time we are distracted from hearing the angels speak to us because we are focused on what the world is doing, what's going on in the world. It's not wrong to know what's going on, but don't get so captivated in what's going on in the world that you forget your assignment. You forget what God called you to do. People are dying because we are not fulfilling our assignments. We're busy trying to keep up with the Joneses and the Jeffersons. Listen to we go from here. Let's go to Jesus, have mercy on us. Show us what you need us to go, Jesus. Let's go over to this is I got so much scriptures here, but I don't know how he was. Let's go over to Acts. Let's go to Acts. Oh, hear that. Let's go to Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. Let's pull up a scripture here that is very relevant to what we're seeing here. What God is saying to us this morning. Hallelujah. I want you to know that doesn't matter how long you've been in this thing, that old slewfoot going to show up to test you, try you, and see if you're standing. Apostle said yesterday, if your feet is on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, if you're really standing flat-footed. Some people are on the tippity toes, and it's easy when you're on your tippity toes for the wind to blow you over. Or the enemy to push you over. If you're on your heel, they push you back. If you're on your tippy toes, they shove you forward. And you'll hit your face. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have to stand flat-footed. Flat-footed means I'm sure I'm sure on the ground we are standing. I'm sure on the surface that I'm standing on. It's not sinking sand. It's not the sand that you're sinking, you fall into and go down. I'm not in sinking sand. I'm on a solid rock. I'm on the rock of Jesus Christ. Even though temptations are coming from the left and from the right, I know that I'm sure I'm rooted and grounded in him. I'm secure in him. Not on what man is saying or woman is saying. I'm secured in him. I don't need stuff to be secured. He has done everything that I need. He has done everything and given me everything that I need to be secure. His love, his compassion, his mercy, his grace. His blood, he covered me in. Washed me in his water, comes out his side in the blood. He secured me that I can stand flat-footed. Here in the book of Acts, coming up the King James Version, it says, verse 16, we're just going to read a few verses here. I'm just showing you that when you even in the hour of prayer, when you decide you're going to pray, you know, a lot of people tell, oh, Pastor, I'm going to come to you on the prayer tonight. I'll be with you tonight on the prayer. As soon as they get 2 or 3 minutes before prayer, a thought come in their mind. Oh, you know, I forgot. I'm going to get together with Brother John. I'm going to get better with, I'm going to go down here to the supermarket. I'm going to the store. I want to go to the mall because I hear they got a sale. All this foolishness. The devil going to always try to deceive you, distract you. Here, in this book of Acts here, chapter 16, I hope you're getting something out of it because it's beginning to, I had to turn on the fan because I didn't turn on the AC. It's getting hot outside now, but it's hot in here. And then it came to pass, verse 16, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now, she was a witch. She was a fortune teller. Now, she did work tricks. She read the palm. She had the tarot card. She had the crystal ball. She had the Ouija board. She had all this stuff to make money for her people. It said, the same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. She begins to tell the people, she is constantly whining. Oh, these men preaching, they're preaching holiness, they're preaching on salvation, they're preaching how to be saved. They're talking about Jesus. She became a nuisance to them. You ever know that when people are trying to talk to you, you're talking all the time? It frustrates them because they're trying to get in the word, but you wouldn't allow them to get in the word. That's the devil. Paul and them can't get in the word. And the apostle, of course, she's talking. She's keeping a lot of noise. She wants to get up on the cross. Paul knew that she had this devilish spirit inside of her. Somebody said, why did Paul cast out the spirits right away? See, we need to wait on the Holy Ghost to give us a leading. Wait to move. Sometimes we move too quick. The Holy Spirit will tell you when to move and what to say and what, when to do it. She is constant. This thing was going on for days. And the Bible says, and this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, then said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Now, you see, it went on for many days. Paul did not command the spirit to leave that woman the same day that she was following them everywhere they go. He waited to get a release from the spirit. That's why we have to be prayed up. And because you're praying, that don't mean that you won't be tested. It doesn't mean that Satan will not try you. You saw he tried Jesus soon as he coming off of a 40-day and 40-night fast. You're doing a 3-day fast, a 7-day fast, you think that the devil ain't going to try you. Apostle never was on the fast with us. As soon as they're coming out, get what happened? See, her granddaughter got shot, fighting for her life. And then God, we went back in the prayer, and God bring her through the surgery yesterday. God is a miracle-working God. He's a promise-keeping God. He's a light in the darkness. You all just got to trust him. If it don't seem like it's working for us right now, we want to give up. I ain't going back to that line. They talk too loud. They shout. I ain't going back there. I don't like what they're teaching about. God used a donkey to get his point across. We want to tell who, and we only want to listen to certain people. We only want to listen to certain people. I listen to everybody. Everybody. Brother Deacon preached a message one Sunday for us on Blog Talk Radio. And everybody was touched. Everybody was touched. He's not at the level that we are at yet. But he's at the level that God wants him to be. God is using him right where he is. Hallelujah. We say, well, you don't know a lot of scriptures. You know enough. You know enough for God to use him to touch us that think we got it all together. God, we've been preaching and teaching for up 10 years. Devil will take you out because you think you got it all down. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Take you through the Bible. Take you on a Bible journey. You know where the Bible is? Where is that? Got the Bible underneath your arm. Are you using it? Are you opening it in? Are you going through the Bible and searching for the scripture so you know where they are? Or you got to look in the index? Well, practice searching the book. The more you open it, the more you're going to find the scriptures. Don't wait for the preacher to come up here using, I got my cell phone. You know, that's why people don't know the Bible too much. Because everybody want to go on the cell phone now, go on the laptop. We call it the iPad, we call it the tablet. Nobody want to open the Bible anymore. Man, I love the iPad, but I also love to open the Bible. I like to turn the pages, I like to hear the pages turning in my spirit. Here in this book of Galatians chapter 4, let's start at verse 28. Galatians chapter 4. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Now, he's saying that we are, as Isaac was the promise. No, we are. We are in there now with Isaac, the promise. The promise, why? The promise because the Father sent the Son to redeem us, to set us free from sin, to set us free from Satan, the Avlo, the Azibug, the devil, the dragon. He sent his son, so we are the promise locked in there with Isaac. He said, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Now, the same thing is happening now that happened then. The people are persecuting you now because you have a new life. You have a life in the spirit. No longer are you walking according to the flesh. You understand? Your life is in the spirit now because you have been spiritually reborn. It's like when Nicodemus went and talked to Jesus, and Jesus told him that he had to be born again. He was wondering how could he, as an old man, enter his mother's womb again and be born again. He couldn't understand. He said he had to be born by the spirit and by water. Hallelujah, glory to God. You need to be born again. Now, you are born again. You want to be walking in the newness of the spirit, like Paul says in Romans chapter 6. We have to be walking in the spirit. We still full of gossip, still full of lying and cheating, conniving and backbiting, and thinking that we're better than anybody else. We got to put that stuff outside the door. We are all children of God, and we ought to be helping one to another. I don't know it all. Last night I was looking at a scripture, and it was talking about the elect lady. And I said, I went all through the book. I said, well, I can't find this elect lady. And then I had to go and do some researching to find out that this elect lady is the church. The church is also called a lady. I said, wow. And we are the children of this elect lady. Hallelujah. I said, wow, my God, this thing is dope. Said, bless me, because if you spend time with the Holy Ghost, he'll reveal things to you. And I start cross-referencing scriptures all over the book to find out this information. Because people are going to come and ask you some questions, and you're supposed to know. And I have an answer of the hope that's inside of you, so they can get the hope. Glory to God. Nevertheless, what saith the scriptures? Cast out the bond woman, talking about Hagar and her son, Ishmael. For the son of the bond woman shall not be the heir with the son of the free woman, the son of Sarah and Abraham. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bond woman, but the children of the free. Are you walking in this freedom? Are you walking in the spirit or are you still in the flesh? Is the flesh still controlling you day in and day out? Go to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Let me see where we look. Okay, you got plenty of time. Proverbs chapter 14. Spending time with the Lord, he gives you what you need. I was just so excited. I'm still so excited with the word of God because the word of God enlightened your spirit, my spirit. Here, we're talking about this Satan, the master of deception. Chapter 14
Amen.
And verse, thank you, Brother Deacon. Chapter 14, verse 25. Listen to what it says. A true witness delivers souls. A true witness delivers souls. If you are not living a righteous life, if you are, let's put my seven there, Holy Spirit, thank you. If we are not living a holy, righteous life, we can't deliver nobody. Matter of fact, we can't, well, we say we deliver, but we can't really point them to the deliverer of Jesus Christ. You know why we can't point them? Because they're looking at our life. Our life is an open book. They're looking at our life to see if we are living what we are speaking. That's why you see some preachers, people don't listen to them. They just make a lot of noise. People don't listen to them. They don't pay them any interest because when they stop preaching, they're in the whole house. They're drinking alcohol. They're smoking. They're cussing. You understand what I'm saying? I sing this in my own two eyes. And people don't want to mess with them. Because they call them, what Jesus called them in the book of Matthew, hypocrites, vipers, dogs. That's what he called them. No. He says, a true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. You hear what he's saying? A deceitful witness speaking lies. Because that is in the mouth of a deceitful witness. Lies. Come on. Verse 5 says, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. We got to pay attention to what you're listening to. What you're hearing, is it the truth? Or is it a deception? We are listening to, and we said yesterday we don't pay time, we don't spend time listening to the politicians. You have politicians that are saying stuff, and people say, oh, we get another stimulus. They're not, the devil don't give you something for free. We jump up and we get all excited. Well, it was all right because they're taking my money every year. But I'm not tied into the stimulus. Oh, they give me another stimulus. And I have this from the church that we were in. And they say, oh, Pastor, oh, we get another stimulus. But it's going to cost you in the long run. What did it cost you? High gas prices. No food on the shelves. Because you're just looking at the short term, $500, $800, not at the long time. Now you don't have a dime. See, no. He says, righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. This is what we're facing right here in our nation right now. Sin. People are starving. People are left. We had two people got starved yesterday to death yesterday here in this nation, in our city. I just ran to a shopping store. I mean, this is stuff because sin. And people don't realize that how big Satan is. You got people that are just starving people that they don't have any harm, any wrong at all. But sin has infiltrated people because why? Preachers are not preaching the truth anymore. They're giving you a half truth and a half truth is a lie. They're afraid to tell you about sin because if they tell you about sin, you're not coming back to church. You're not coming back to the land anymore. I told the Lord, I said, people don't come, it don't matter. Me and the Holy Ghost is the majority. Me and the Holy Ghost is the majority. And we're going to put this thing out there because there's thousands upon thousands. I don't know how many times, but the last time I looked, we were over 500,000 people. Way over. And we're probably close to a million people now because I don't check it anymore. I was checking all the time to see how the line was growing. But I'm watching all the people coming on and people are calling and texting and giving us messages on Twitter. We get a message on on Nickelby, or we call it, I can't remember that, how you pronounce that, but one another thing, playing them on, another site that I'm on, and Instagram, people are texting, Twitter, I'm on Twitter now, and all this stuff, we're getting all this information. So we are doing what the law says, and we're not doing it, I've got to say, we're not doing it to get rich, we're not doing it to get rich money. We got some money yesterday, day before, Apostle Jefferson, and we put some money to it and sent it to India. You see, the preacher came on here yesterday and was thanking us, thanking Blog Talk Family, not thanking David Cannon, Nancy Cannon. It was thanking, it was praising and giving thanks to Blog Talk Family that support the churches in India so they can stand up and stand flat-footed against the Sikhs and the Muslims and the Hindus. Hallelujah. That's what you all are doing. That's what you all are doing. And God is pleased. Go to Revelation chapter 3. Go to Revelation chapter 3. Matter of fact, let's go to 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians before we go to Revelation. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Oh, my God, I tell you. You got to just get this thing, man. Just keep doing what God said to do. Don't let nobody stop you, okay? Keep doing. People are going to try to stop you. Because the enemy is going to use your family, going to use your friends, your co-workers to stop you from staying connected. Jesus said, if you abide in me, hallelujah. Let's go to, oh my God, I hear the scripture. Man, let's go there. We're going to 2 Corinthians, but let's go to John chapter 15, man. This thing is hitting me hard. Oh, Apostle, I like it when he hit me like that. I like it when he hit me like that, Apostle. Oh, my Lord, I tell you, when he hit you like that, I tell you, your soul is jumping. Jesus said, John chapter 15, listen, he says, if you abide in me and my words are pure, abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto thee. See, the thing is abiding in him, staying in him, staying connected. Hallelujah, glory to God. In this same text, in this same book, he called me, I preached on this message before. You are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. John chapter 15, verse 14. You see, when you're being obedient to the voice of Christ Jesus, it doesn't matter what Satan comes. You are victorious. You already have the victory. Hallelujah, you can't dim and dive and sin and think you're going to have the victory over sin. You cannot. You cannot. Some people, you got to cut loose. Apostles, you got to take the machete. You got to take the sickle, God's sickle, the two-edged sword, and you got to cut some people loose. Don't cut them physically, though. You got to cut them loose. You pray for them. Keep praying for them. But you got to cut them loose. I mean, you got to stay away from them. Because why? They come to kill, steal, and destroy. They got the spirit of the devil in them. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask anything and it'll be done for you. The thing is staying up, staying connected. Staying connected to Jesus Christ. Satan is still going to use you, but he can't wait. He's still going to come to attack you, abuse you, and try to use you. But guess what? He will be defeated at all times. All times, because he can't win. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He can't win. You know why he can't win? Because you're connected. You're connected. You're going to work this scripture here. Let me go. Excuse me. Yeah, there's some phlegm inside my throat. Glory to God. We got to stay connected, people. You to me and me to you. Us to each other. That's all we got. That's how we get the victory. We help us one to another. I just said, man, people, if folk call us up, Apostle, I said, Apostle, we need to help these people over here in this country or that country. She said, Apostle, we're going to do what we can do. I said, praise the Lord, thank the Lord. That's all we can do. We can't do no more. And when God sees us doing a little bit, guess what? That's what he does. He is so faithful. He comes up and do the rest. Oh, we can only do so much, but he can do more than we can do. Hear what I'm telling you. The God that I serve. Hear. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, listen to Paul speaking, start at verse 1. He says, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me Paul says, I'm trying to get some information to you to help you to see indeed the gift of God. And I got to, it's like foolishness to you. That's what folly is. It's like foolishness to you. But just bear a little bit with me. I'm going to get this point across to you. I'm going to get it across to you. People, sometimes you have to spend time. We have to spend time with those that don't know the truth so they can get the truth. Do you hear what I'm saying? We spend time. He spent a lot of time with us so that we can get the truth. Jesus Christ, a lot of time with us so we can get what we need. We want to give up too fast. Some folk, you have to literally cut yourself off from them so that you don't end up acting out of character. But you pray for them. You pray for them so they can come on in and enjoy the fruits of the Spirit. Understand? Listen. Glory to God. Let me go up there. Paul began to speak. He said, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have expose you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Paul introduced them to Christ, Corinthians, to Jesus Christ as Lord, and he bring them in living pure, chaste. That means that they're not having fornicating, adulterous, lesbians, homosexuals, doing all this stuff that would set them out outside this realm. He said, "But I say this by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ." Paul said, "I am fearful, because Satan still slithers in. He still comes in. As much as we're trying to keep preaching holiness and righteousness and the truth of God's word, not the hard truth, but the infallible, uncompromising word of God, we are trying each day to do it. And not only trying to do this word, but we are actually living this word. Why? Because it's not only you, it's my neighbors, your neighbors. They know that you're professing to be a Christian. You got your priest collar on. You're dressing your robe. You carry the Bible sometimes. You don't have the priest collar on, but you got the robe in your hand. You're going out. They see you. You got the Bible in your hand. And they see you. So they proclaim. They suggest that you are a born-again believer. So now they have a great expectation of you. So you have to be watchful and prayerful against this slickness, this tricky old Satan, that he don't come and beguile you like he did Eve in the garden, trick you. Hallelujah. You have to be careful. But if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, listen to him, they got a man and his brother preaching this stuff saying he is Jesus Christ. You all heard about him. People selling their cars and the house and everything and giving to him. He's a billionaire. And Satan is using him. You understand? Satan is using him. He's doing some works. We read here at the house, Satan got the false prophets in the book of Revelation. And the false prophets are performing signs and wonders. So everybody that, oh my God, I hear you, Holy Ghost. Everybody that is performing signs and wonders are not from God. It's not from Jehovah God, not from Yahweh, not from El Shaddai, not from Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Tiskanil. You understand? So this is why we need the spirit of the sermon to see. Because somebody's up on the altar and they're laying hands on somebody, they follow on something. You got sometimes it's the Kundalini spirit. It's the Marine spirit that's working. It's in action. So you have to be able to see and hear. Oh my God. Am I talking to anybody today? You got to be able to see and hear. In the spirit. He said, if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if we receive another spirit, which you have not received another God or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. You see, don't receive, because once you receive, you're going to be connected to these people. That's what Paul is saying. We have to say, well, we know the true doctrine. Paul also told you, if somebody come with another doctrine, separate yourself from them. Leave them alone. He says, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. He said, well, at least inferior. So he began to speak this, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been truly made manifest among you in all things. See, Paul said, we did what we did plainly. We didn't use any tricks. We come out here, we teach straight. Apostle came out yesterday, he teach straight from Psalm 95 or something. 95 on Sunday. And yesterday, yes, I can't remember the scripture. But 91. Let me see. I'm losing my scripture there. Anyway, she preached from the book of Psalms yesterday. No. Seen it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 18. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. She preached from Psalm 18, straight from the book. Straight from the book. So how can you go and say, well, there's somebody else. She didn't preach the word of God. I wasn't in agreement with her. Well, she was preaching the word of God. You claim you're not in agreement with you're not in agreement with God because she's preaching God's word. Hallelujah. But Paul says you're not preaching God's word. You don't have to be in agreement with her or with me. That's why we preach straight from this. I'm not using any notes. I got notes, but I'm not preaching using no notes. Right here, he says, have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. I robbed other churches, Paul tell you what he did, taking wages of them to do you service. Paul said, I took money from other servant churches so I can help you. Paul said, I make myself low so you can be exalted. I was preaching here in the church, and the bishop told me that I ought not meddle with the sheep. He said, you shouldn't meddle with the sheep. The sheep are dumb. Well, if they're dumb, they're God's sheep. How are you going to win them for Christ? How are you going to lead them to Christ and let them see the Christ in you if you don't meddle with them? He thought that he was more than that. I ain't going to call the bishop name. But after a while, we found out that the same bishop was living a double life. And his double life caused his wife to get sick. And she died. He's living and still living a homosexual lifestyle. And got the homosexual in the church with him right now today. But they don't want you to teach. They want me to talk to you like I'm more than the sheep. I'm a sheep. Jesus is the shepherd. When we start putting ourselves on pedestals like we all got in the bag of sisters in Pensacola, we are coming up short of the glory of God. Very, very short. I tell you, extremely short. When we put ourselves on pedestals, we like Eli, we're going to fall back and break our neck. I'm telling you the truth. I'm going to finish this here, and then I'm going to turn this over to Bishop. Let's go here quick, fast, and hurry. I got more scripture to you. I'll do a part four because I got so much of this. I have so many scriptures that the Lord has given me. And continue to feed me on this. He said, Paul says, and when I was present with you, and wanting, I was not charged to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. Paul said, look, all Paul's interest was is to get in the message of the gospel to the Corinthian church. He wasn't making himself become virgin. Well, we got to make sure we have some money for Paul. The apostle coming today. We got to make sure we have some money for him. I go away to preach the gospel. That people don't have to wait. I got to raise the offering for him. I got to raise this. I got to make sure. Man, if you give me a love offering, I'm grateful. Who going to turn on a love offering? But that's not my objective. I'm coming to you because whatever God gave me for you that morning, that day, that nighttime, I'm going to release. And God is not going to send me empty. He's going to send me that my car is going to be full of gas. Hallelujah. Or I got a plane ticket, a return ticket in my bag. That's how God's going to send me. So I'm delivering what God says. I'm a messenger. See, if you only can deliver your message because you're going to get a $2,000 check, a $3,000 check, you might as well stay home because that's your reward here on earth. But my reward is in heaven. I work for the Lord. The payment is not much, but the reward is out of this world. The retirement plan is out of this world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen to what he says. Paul says, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knows. Listen, but what I do, that I do, that I may cut off occasions from them which desire occasions that wherein their glory, that may be found even as we. See, there's some people that want to come and connect with the apostles, but they're not connecting with the apostles for the kingdom of heaven. There's some people that want to connect with the prophet, our prophetess, our evangelists, our pastors, our teachers, but not for the kingdom. They want to connect with you because they see they can learn some things from you so it can be profitable to them for their glory, not for God's glory. That's what Paul is saying. We have to watch folk that trying to get close to us. They're deceivers. I call them deceptors. Hallelujah. You have to watch them. He says, for much are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Some of this, they are born deceivers, working for Satan. They already have the badge of Satan on their shoulder. Do you hear me today? Hallelujah. So we have to if you can't pray for anything else, pray for the spirit of discernment. I always say that. Lord, I just want to have some more money, Lord. I just, man, God know you need some money. Then the Bible says he take care of the sparrows and the lilies and the grass. He take care of all that stuff. How much more would he do for you and I? We were talking about the Holy Ghost. But God didn't give us more than just the Holy Ghost. When you first get baptized, you get the Holy Ghost. That's the first gift to give to you. And then gifts are constantly coming. You can't see them, but they're coming all the time. All the time he's giving us gifts because he's that kind of daddy. He's that type of father. Last scripture here. Last part of scripture coming. He says, and no matter, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He said, tell it up. If some of these folk want to come, and act like they are really apostles called by God is no strange thing. Because their leader, their chief officer is transformed as an angel of light. This is what he's saying. Therefore, last verse, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. No. They're fashioned. They're transformed into ministers of righteousness. Listen. But their end, hallelujah, glory to God, should be according to their works. Let us check our works. Let's examine our assignment. Let's examine our objective. Why are we doing this thing every morning? Why are we coming in 3, 4, 5 days a week? 7 days a week and doing this thing. Why are we ready to go at a moment's notice? Are we going because we want to glorify God? Are we doing this because we want to be glorified? The next time we come back, I want to go to 2 John. 2 John. 2 John, that we will hit from verse 1 in 2 John. short book in the epistles. It's very powerful. I studied it last night, and I tell you, I was looking at it in the Logos Bible. If you got a Logos Bible, look at it. It is so powerful in the Logos Bible. I mean, the Berean church really put that thing down. I mean, they broke it down. They took it down from A to Z that a fool could understand it. How important it is for us to focus on the things of heaven and not earth. We are true believers washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and the devil has no hold on us, no longer have a hold on us. Listen to me. You're going to still go through trials and tribulations because you will be tested. You're going to be put in the fire. You know, you're going to be put in the, we are going to be put in the fire to try to see if we really is the gold that God said we are. And if there's any dross in us, it will surface to the top. So he can scrape it off and throw it away. Because if you have some dross inside of you, you can't enter in. If the gold is contaminated, it's no good to God. It's got to get the dross out of it. So he heats up the fire. You go through some testing. Glory to God. We go through some testing so he can get the dross off the top. Get it off of us. You wonder why when you go through, all of a sudden you start to act. You want to fight. You want to cut somebody out. But that's some dross that's still inside of you. That don't mean you're not saved. But God will let you be tested so he can dip that thing off of you. Dip it off, and you come to a place of repentance. And God just said, okay, daughter, go here, son. I know you still have some stuff inside you. I had to bring you here so I can get it off. I didn't want you to keep that stuff in you so Satan has something to use against you. Do you hear what I'm saying? The Bible calls him accuser of the brethren. And now he don't just accuse us one day. The Bible says he accused us day and night before God. So that means if there's anything in us, I mean anything in us, Satan going to use it against us. He's going to use it against you and I. Father, I thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. And I pray even as I've delivered this word today, as you gave it to me, that somebody has heard it like I heard it and receive it like I receive it, Lord. Lord, that is making change in their lives as you're making change in my life, Lord. Father, help us to walk together and let us stay connected to you and abiding in you. Lord, that you can call us, truly call us friend, just like you called Abraham friend. Lord, I pray today, Lord God, as the word going forth to the north, south, the east, and the west, that it would accomplish the intent this morning, that somebody would be drawn to say, Lord Jesus, I've been living my life in sin, and I want to be saved. When they hear the prayer of salvation, they give their life over to be cleansed, to be delivered, to be restored in Jesus' name. Come on in, Brother Bishop, and let the Lord use you. Come on in. Brother Bishop, come on in.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord. God be all the glory, honor, and praise. I come to you humbly this day and urge you strongly, so please accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Do it today. Don't hesitate. It won't cost you. It won't cost you any money. It won't cost you but a few minutes of time that God has given us. Accept him as your Savior. For those who have become prodigal sons and daughters, come back home. Do it now. You dedicate your life to Christ Jesus. He's the only way to salvation. That's why he is called the way maker, the door, because he is the only one who can open that door. And let us in. If we cross over on this day and we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, you go be with him in paradise. He promised it to the thief on the cross, and he was forgiven his sins, and he doesn't lie. Jesus doesn't lie. Now I ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would accept him as your Savior today. As it said in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 and 9, Romans, and it reads that. Well, what does it say? It said the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, you must believe. And once you make confession, you must not go back to the previous life you were living because if you do so, if you cross over, you're slipping into darkness. Don't slip. Don't slip. Fight it off. Don't slip. Don't be tempted to do the things that you were doing. I mean, the things that you were saying, the things that you were thinking. Now, we're only human. God knows this. You know, he knew that we were on the dust and that we would fail. That's why we fall short of his glory each and every day. But each and every day, we should ask for forgiveness for what we have said, done, thought, the way we looked at somebody. You know, it's just not good, you know. And it's eternal damnation if you cross over in that state. Now, if you've made this confession, you make this confession, verse 9 says, verse 8 says you confess with your mouth, which means you have to speak it into the atmosphere because the devil cannot read your thoughts. He can only inject thoughts in your mind. And I would say to say verse 9 says, if you believe in your heart that God sent Jesus, his only begotten son, to die for our sins and iniquities. Hallelujah. And he was made sin. He was made to carry the sin on his shoulders. And he did not fail his father, our father. He did not fail him. He did it for us because of his obedience to the Father. Now, if you believe in your heart that Christ died for our sins and that God raised him from the dead, you're now saved. Please say that. You say it out loud. Though. You must speak it out loud because the devil doesn't know if you're thinking about it or not thinking about it. You have to speak it that you are. Speak it out in the atmosphere. Then your next step is to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you go to the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, it clearly states, nor is there any other name mentioned under heaven given among men that we must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. He's the only way. So if you made that confession, and brothers and sisters, if you were prodigal sons and you come back home, there's a celebration going on in heaven right now, just as we're celebrating on this line on this day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, thank you so much. Please take care of yourself. Invite people to your baptism, you know, and everybody, strangers, coworkers, enemies, family members, you know, anybody and everybody, invite them to your baptism. Baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You remember, he's the only way, the door. You must be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Peter said it to them, who were being baptized, about to be baptized. And Peter said it, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Hallelujah. And everyone, you know, must separate themselves from this perverse generation and do what is right before God. Congratulations, one and all. Bless you and your family, and inviting people, every soul that comes to watch you, witness your baptism. You may decide to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ also. That soul is accounted to you because you just spoke a word and asked them to come to your baptism. Hallelujah. You've drawn your first people to Christ. Glory to God. Now, Apostle, it's back to you, sir. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you for that prayer. Salvation, we pray that many will come.
Yes. Yes.
Pray that many will come, many will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit today.
Yes.
I see Mother Grant on the line. I haven't seen her for quite some time, but she's on the line today. She wants to read. You can come on in and read, Mother. We open the line. The line is open. Does anyone want to respond? Okay, Brother Bishop, you can go ahead and pray and close us out.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. May the Lord watch us. Watch us and keep us. May the Lord shine his face upon us. May his Holy Spirit be always with us and keep us in perfect. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Bishop. Thank you so much. Once we install the word, there's no point begging people to respond for God. We thank God for the word, and we thank God for those that came on and heard the word. We pray that the word was a blessing to you as it was to me. Have a blessed day. We love you, but God loves you more. Bye-bye.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hello. Hello.
Did not end with Vice President Pence. It targeted every tier of federal and state elected officials, convincing state legislatures, he said, to certify competing electors was
anybody there? Anybody on the line? Anybody there?